Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. The following contest is scheduled for 60 minutes.
Give me a hell yeah!
Oh my God! The ring just exploded!
I apologize, you son of a bubbly!
Excuse me!
I'm better than you, and you know it.
Hello and welcome to a very special edition of Monday Night Gore. I say special because I'm joined by an extremely special guest today. I'm joined by none other than Delmi Exo. Delmi, how are you today?
Hi, I am doing great. Thank you so much for having me, Connor, on the show. It's been a while trying to get things scheduled, but I'm so glad that we finally made it work today.
It is. It's my pleasure to have you on. And thank you for getting up first thing in the morning. I know time zones are a little bit different. It's midday here, but I believe it's early in the morning with you, isn't it?
It's only 7 a.m. I'm actually a super morning person. I think I'm one of the few people in wrestling who go to sleep at a decent time. Like, I'm in bed by 9. And so I wake up early, I do my cardio, and I get ready for work usually. But today I have off and I am so happy.
Amazing, amazing. We're completely different then, because I normally end up doing late shift work and I don't end up waking up till the middle of the day. So thank you very much for joining us. Delmi, I'm going to start sort of chronologically, really, and start when you were sort of younger and when you sort of first got into wrestling. I mean, what was your sort of your first memory of wrestling? I mean, how did it all come about?
I don't have a distinct one that's the first, but my first memories of wrestling being there is that it was just always there. I never was a person who had to make the decision that we were going to start watching wrestling. That was kind of my sister and my dad's story. She is 7 years older than me. So she kind of had a whole relationship with my dad of them watching wrestling together and him starting to host parties, like pay-per-view parties with his friends. And so when I came into the picture finally and my memories start, that was kind of the environment that I was in for wrestling. It was what we watched at home. And we would play the video games. We would just like, it was always something we were doing or talking about. Me and Ashley would always tag in the video games because we weren't good enough to play against the computers on our own. So we would just compete against them. And yeah, that's my first memories. I do distinctly remember, and I didn't understand where it came from, but one of my memories was WrestleMania 20, which is my favorite Mania now. And I just remember Molly Holly getting her head shaved. And as I grew up and I like got back into wrestling, I was like, wait, what happened with that? Like, who was that girl? Like, and no one remembered that for some reason. I kept asking other wrestlers. I was like, what girl got her head shaved? Because that's one of my early memories as a kid. And I remember thinking that was so crazy and so cool. And that I would never do that. I would never shave my head ever.
No, amazing, completely. No, Andy, who I normally do the podcast with, he's a massive fan of Molly Holly from when he watched as a kid as well. But how do you take it from the next step? I mean, listen, I watch wrestling. I love wrestling. I'd love to think I could be a professional wrestler, but it ain't going to happen for me. And how do you sort of take it from that next step from sort of going, you know what, I enjoy this, I like watching this, hang on a second, this is what I want to do?
So when we were younger, we were definitely all about it. But as we got older and we kind of fell out of love for watching it, we didn't even understand what you could do to become a wrestler. So it kind of just seemed like one of those dreams that was unattainable, sort of like most people with like becoming a rock star. Like, it's just something that is one in a million chance. And so the only way that we thought you could do it was like the diva searches, which we knew we would never get picked, or Tough Enough, which seemed again like a far shot of them picking you for the show and then you making it past that. So the way we ended up finding a wrestling school was someone was flyering for an independent show. It was for Northeast Championship Wrestling, and they were flyering outside of a live SmackDown. So I ended up like falling behind of my sister and our friend Juan. And I grabbed one of these flyers and I kind of looked at it. I put it in my back pocket. Ashley later on contacted that show and they hooked us up with Dynamite Doug Summers, who started training us from there.
And how was that? How was training and sort of getting yourself, you know, prepared from sort of being a complete beginner to getting ready for when you eventually debuted in 2015?
So I was very unathletic. The only thing that I really did was dance and theater for school. I did, like, I participated in gym class, but I was a sick kid most of my life. Like, I just kind of dealt with everything. Like, and so getting into an aggressive sport, which I thought was legitimate when I signed up, I thought I was actually going to be fighting people. And I was like, yeah, I'm ready for this. This is what I'm like, cool. So I'm 100% wouldn't have made it far if it wasn't, like, you know, a showcase together. I don't think I would have gotten as far, but yeah. I'm super thankful for that. Physically wise, I definitely took a beating. I was in my senior year and I would just always show up with, like, Advil because I was in so much pain and I would have to take a second dosage in the middle of the day. And I was just always like trying to ice something. I would have to go to the nurse to, like, I remember when we first learned suplexes, my elbow was like just a balloon and I just had to have an ice pack all day in class.
I can imagine.
Yeah. It was real cute at prom. So, like, I remember my mom just always telling me, like, you know, you can quit. Like, no one's going to judge you if you quit. Like, Ashley's still going to be happy that you tried. And I was just like, no, I can't quit, because I always heard in practice, like, oh yeah, this person only lasted for 2 weeks, or like so-and-so only lasted for 6 months. And I just didn't want to be that person who quit after a short while. I was just like, don't want them to say that about me. I don't want to be a quitter. And I just stuck it out, even though I was awful. I just stuck it out, and it took me like a year to accomplish some of the simplest things. But eventually, like, once I broke past the plateau, everything started coming after, like, oh, okay, I can do this. I can do this. It's just the physicality wasn't there. I think my mental state was of determination.
Was it an element of trying to prove people wrong, or was it just trying to prove yourself and say, no, I can do this?
I think it was a mixture of both. Because, I mean, I hadn't met a bunch of the people around the indie scene in New England. Like, I mainly stuck to two shows that I would go through during that time of training. And so I didn't get to see how everyone else trained or how everyone else was getting brought up. So in my mind, the way that I was doing it was the only way. We were training at a barn. It was hot. It was super frigid in the winter. It was like boiling in the summer. And so that did make it hard, but in my head, I liked the rugged aesthetic of training. I was super into, like, anime growing up and different things where you see characters, like, persevere in this, like, mundane environment. And so I thought that's what I had to do to get there. I did think that if I quit, I would always feel like kind of empty, or like I let myself down, because I did always kind of conquer things in my time. Like, I would go through all these like tough classes and like get through that. And I would like mentally I couldn't get through things like tough classes, memorizing scripts and stuff like that. So I was like, well, why can't I get the physical aspect?
Perfect. No, I completely understand. Let's move a little bit forward then to your debut in 2015, Pioneer Valley Promotions. How do you feel? I mean, you know, you've been training all this time, you've been getting yourself ready, and then all of a sudden, you know, they tell you, right, this is your debut. I mean, what's the feeling like when you're about to step into the ring for the first time, really?
So I actually didn't have any feelings, because I was supposed to debut 2 months before this. And when I got to the venue that day, my match got canceled. So I already had the butterflies that day. And so I was just like, okay, it's not happening. So that day I didn't believe that I was getting the ring until I heard my music. I just kind of like was like numb to the situation. I'm like, well, like they're probably gonna cut it anyway. So it's not happening. So I didn't really get to be excited until after I like wrestled and I came back to the curtain. I was like, okay, yay, I've done it. But I didn't get to have like the happiness before that at all. I was just like, I don't want to jinx it. I don't want them to cut me in case. It was super easy. It was what people say is a squash match nowadays. It was like a minute and a half, I want to say, maybe 2 minutes. And so I literally just had to get in there, show I could bump.
Bumps.
I think I got thrown out of the ring, so I got to show that I could do that. And that was it.
And then, but now look, I mean, you go from there and you get a lot more matches and, you know, you go from there. The name, Delmi EXO, where did that come from?
So I don't know if you're familiar with K-pop at all.
Yeah.
So back when I was training, there was a group that was teasing their debut and their name was EXO. And I think they started teasing their debut like a year before they actually debuted. Their debut kept getting pushed back.
Right.
And so the running gag in the K-pop community was that they were never going to debut. So I thought that was funny for me because of how much I was training. And in my head, I was like, I'm never going to debut because I'm so awful. So I took that last name as like kind of an insider joke for myself. It also kind of just means like outsider. It's like a word they use for the STEM word is for outsider. And so I kind of feel like I was an outsider coming into wrestling. I wasn't the athlete coming in. I was the dorky theater kid coming in and trying this.
Yeah, no, I understand. And then catchphrase goes, one of the boys. Where's that sort of come from?
So that was something I heard once I got into wrestling and was having my matches. I constantly heard that with ring crew of, oh, you know, like just because you're a girl, you don't, you're going to get treated like one of the boys. You have to help with ring crew. You have to help with setting up chairs. You have to help with flyering. You have to help clean up after the show and put stuff together. You don't get special treatment. And so I constantly heard that like, oh, we're just treating you like one of the boys. Like, don't expect anything because you're a girl and that you'll get a slap on the wrist or an easy ride to the top. And so I constantly heard that. And at first it was like a chip on the shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
Of hearing that, I was just like, okay, I know that. Like I wasn't personally saying, oh, I'm going to get an easy ride because I'm a girl.
Yeah.
But I constantly heard that. And after 5 years of wrestling and like not really having a character, I kind of realized that all the time that I was like paying my dues, I did end up seeing that I was getting treated differently by the guys. Like I was getting treated like I was just one of the boys and like they treated me really normal and like there wasn't any sort of undertones or connotations that I ever received from guys. And in a way it was like, oh, okay, I gained their respect after such a long time. And so I kind of adopted that as like, yeah, I'm just one of the boys. I'm just a kid in the locker room who's also doing this.
Kind of treated you and made you feel sort of comfortable in the environment.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
No, I completely understand. Just another couple of things I'm sort of interested in. You mentioned there your sort of your music. How do you sort of come up with your music? Do you work with someone or do you sort of have a sort of idea what you want to come out to? Or
right now, me and Ashley are coming out to Hooked on a Feeling. When Guardians of the Galaxy came out, she was kind of delayed into that fandom for some reason. So when she finally watched it, I think it was like 2 years later after the movie came out, she became super obsessed with it and she wanted to use a couple other songs from that. I think Come and Get Your Love she wanted to use, and I was like, why don't we use Hooked on a Feeling, because it's a hook,
good choice,
and you're a real catch. And so she used it first at a show, which I always give her like shit for, because I'm always like, you always take my ideas, you like always steal my ideas. So she used it first, so people think it's her song too, but in reality it was supposed to be our tag song.
It's supposed to be she's kind of taking it
and took credit for it, but we use it as a tag now.
Perfect. Well, for the listeners that don't know, your sister is Ashley Vox. You are in a tag team, the Sea Stars. How is it being in a tag team with your actual sister?
for some reason, it's actually really easy working with her. We kind of have the same like thought pattern of how we put together matches or how we would want a match to flow, because we got trained in the same place. And then any other places that we went to train after, we kind of went together. I do like that if she has a thought, I can finish her thought. Or if I have an idea, she can add to it. And that's always something cool that we have, is that we have bits and pieces, but we can't finish it. And then the other person can. And it's like, oh, perfect. That's like, that's a perfect way to get there. We don't argue about matches. Like, never had a match where we were like arguing, like, you're getting more offense or I'm getting less offense. We don't have that connotation. And so I like that. I like that there is chemistry. It's just easy to tag with her. I have tagged with my boyfriend once, and I tried to do like some sort of promo together with him, and even like trying to talk with each other, like for a promo, like a 1 minute promo, like we kept talking over each other, or he was delayed and I was like, oh, it's just so much easier with Ashley.
I see, you sort of like bounce off each other and stuff.
Yeah. And like, people don't understand that when they put together tag teams, that you need to have like some sort of history there or some sort of chemistry there, but it matters like for little things like that.
Is there a competitive edge between you and Ashley? Are you both trying to sort of almost be slightly better than each other, or do you sort of work very well harmoniously?
I think when we were training, yes. Because there was only so much we knew about wrestling. Like, we didn't understand styles like strong style and like British style and like chaining and lucha and stuff like that. Mm. So we all only had the same moves to be able to use in matches. And so then it was, but now that we've kind of branched out and I've gone more of like a Joshi style and she's gone into more of like a British technical style, it's easier to put matches together and we don't get in each other's way, because it's like, oh, you do this stuff and I do this style anyways. So putting it together, there's no stepping on toes at all.
No, it works well together. So you tag and you do singles. Which do you prefer?
It depends on, I think, the person that we are wrestling. If we're wrestling a legitimate tag team that is, you know, working on their offense together as a tag team, or if they're more established and they get how the matches work, love those tag matches. If we were to tag against a tag team that's like thrown together and then it's kind of hard for them to get stuff together and you're kind of like, you know, now you're brainstorming on how it can make sense for them, those tag matches aren't as fun. I would prefer for us to have two singles matches at that point. So
yeah,
it depends on who I'm wrestling, to be honest. But right now I have been getting more opportunities as singles, and those are super fun. They get broadcasted. They get put on IWTV, places like that. So that's exciting for me.
Well, there's a certain match for a promotion that I'm going to come on to later that I want to talk to you about. But before we get there, sort of, I just want to talk a little bit about the independent scene. You've done quite a lot of on the indies. I wanted to sort of ask you how that kind of comes about. Is it a case of you put yourself out there? Does your trainer sort of say, you know, you might work well for this sort of promotion? How does it kind of work?
So the way it should work is that you would send a resume and your match links to a promotion. Recently I have been doing that to places, and I feel like that doesn't get as much of a response because they probably see the message and they think it's generic. And so recently what has been working has just been messaging a promotion and just saying, hey, I would love to come in and work. And for some reason that gets a better response. I don't know what the best way is to get bookings. I'm really fortunate where I've been recommended, or me and Ashley have been recommended for other places. And that's a huge, you know, easier path. We haven't had to reach out to places in a while.
That's good.
So I don't know how it works for other people. I'm sorry, I can't give any advice for that.
No, that's fine. Like, it's more just for you, really, how you sort
Honestly, I would just say, like, any match that you have, whoever you're wrestling, you know, be really good with them and, like, get really kind with them. So that way, maybe they have a connection. Like, you never know who you're meeting could lead to something. So just treat everyone the same and like nice and good. And like, hey, they might help you out with the booking later on, even if it's in like their local area, you never know. So just, you know, have a good mindset when you wrestle everyone.
Yeah, of course. I want to talk a bit about the last year, obviously, with the pandemic shutting everything down, and it really hit hard, especially on the independent scene. How has the sort of last, well, I'd say what, year and a half now, really? How's the last year and a half been for you in terms of, you know, keeping wrestling going and shows being shut down, etc.?
I think I was pretty fortunate because Limitless ended up doing tapings. It was about like once every 2 months, I want to say. And so that gave me sort of a reason to, we couldn't train in a ring, but me and Ashley were training in terms of like conditioning and maintaining our physique and trying to like stay in a healthy, like body weight and like just stay in condition for those tapings. It gave us something to like look forward to. It gave us something to work towards. Not everyone had that. Some people just ended up, you know, falling off and just like getting really in a bad mental state because they didn't have something like that to look forward to. They didn't have a period where they could go wrestle 6 matches in a weekend. We were all tested for that weekend and we just stayed isolated. There was no fans allowed. It was just workers. And so, you know, those matches got put out weekly. And so it did give us a little buzz off social media of like fans being able to watch that weekly, and one of our matches would come up and they would be like, oh, like great match.
Yeah.
And like some people didn't get that. So I think I'm really fortunate for that reason. I'm super thankful to Randy for setting those up for Limitless. Honestly, me and Ashley just kind of stayed a little more healthy, you know, like we weren't bumping as much. We weren't taking as many hits during that time. So the matches we did have, we could heal from and like recover from. And it's just like, it was a lot better on our bodies that time period.
How was taping during the pandemic? Because obviously, you know, you're suddenly told by governments around the world, you know, don't have close contact, don't touch people. You can't get any closer contact than wrestling, really, can you? I mean, how did it kind of feel? Did it bother you much, or were you sort of kind of, you know, this is what I do and I'm just going to sort of carry on?
So in Maine, it was different. It was like maximum of 25 people indoors, and we all got tested that week, and then we all showed up, and we were within the limited capacity that you could have for people in a room. And everyone was obviously like not infected at that time. So, and then everyone would test after and we would all be negative. So we were following guidelines, and in a way, yeah, there was the idea of I need to wrestle, like not because it's my job, but more because it's my passion. It's kind of what I need at this point in life. I mean, some of us weren't getting paid for those gigs. And that's fine in my mindset. I would rather get in the ring and get an opportunity to have something out there versus, you know, like, oh, I need to make money off of this. Our government was decent in the way that some people were getting unemployment during the pandemic. So we were able to collect off of that, even though we weren't able to work. And then fans were super great. They were like always messaging us about merch and like purchasing merch. And so there was honestly 1 week where like merch sales literally bought groceries for me, my mom, and Ashley.
That's pretty
so cool. It was I'm like super thankful for fans also for that reason, because they didn't have to do that. I mean, we didn't say anything online of like, hey, we're struggling. We just posted links of like, if you're interested.
yeah and it's them sort of more reaching out and helping, which I think is lovely. What I did want to ask was, you mentioned fans there. How was it going from wrestling in front of a crowd to nobody being there? I mean, it must have been insane.
It was kind of awkward because you start off in the ring before the cameras start. You're already in the ring. You don't have your entrance or anything.
Yeah.
There's no point of doing an entrance, you know? yeah. So, and then they do the big countdown. They're like, all right, we're going to start rolling in 10, None. And that starts getting you anxious. You're like, no, stop. Like, I'm not ready.
There's no name.
Normally when I do my entrance, that's the time that I take to like shake off the nerves and like, you know, just like bounce off the ropes real quickly just to make sure they don't break on me.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. But when you're doing taping stuff like that, like you don't get that. And then it's funny because then I did end up doing a taping for Beyond Wrestling and they had us do our entrance and I was already standing in the ring and they're like, oh, dummy, like you have to do your entrance. I'm like, what? Why? It's going to be awkward now. Yeah, I'm like, I'm ready to go now. So now I do have trouble when I do have to do an entrance. Like I had to do an entrance for MLW recently. I was like, oh, like I kind of, because I was nervous, I was like, I kind of just want to start off in the ring already.
Yeah. No, I completely understand. But now they're coming back and they're back in now. So hopefully, fingers crossed, things start to get, you know, sort of back to full capacity. I'm not sure what's going on in America. Are they kind of fully back or fans? Or?
I think everything is fully back. There are some promotions that obviously like promoters require you to either show that you're negative for COVID or that you're vaccinated.
Right.
So for that, and then some promotions do require fans to wear masks. But recently I've just seen that everything's been fully back to the way it was.
Perfect. So hopefully we'll get back to sort of the full capacity crowds and go from there. Right. There's a couple of matches that I wanted to talk to you about. And the first one that I wanted to talk to you about was when you and your sister were on Impact Wrestling in the Knockouts Tag Team Tournament, where you went up against Kira Hogan and Tasha Steelz. I watch Impact. I try and watch it as much as I can because obviously with so much WWE and AEW and work, it's difficult to watch too much of it. But, you know, I do keep an eye on it. How did that sort of come about? Who got in touch with you for that? And, you know, how did this opportunity come around? Because it's a great platform to be on.
Yeah, I'm not sure if I'm allowed to say who contacted us just because I don't want people to flood their emails. But we were contacted because of the fact that we were a legitimate tag team, which I think is cool that they wanted to bring in an actual tag team from the scene and just to be in the tournament. Like, I thought that was really cool. Me and Ashley didn't think that we were going to be in the tournament. We saw that they were doing tag belts. We just assumed that we would bring in like a prelim thing to show what it would be,
yeah,
or for someone to get into the tournament. So actually being listed in it was like so cool. Like seeing C-Stars, the graphic come out, I was about to get on my plane and that's when like the news came out and everyone started contacting me like, oh my god, like good luck, did you do it already, like how did it go?
Yeah.
Because tapings, like they weren't sure what was happening with that.
Yeah, of course.
I was like, I'm heading there now. So but Kiera Hogan and Tasha, we know them from back in Shimmer and like back just touring locally around with Tasha, and they're super great. It was super easy to put together the match. Madison Rain was our agent for that, and just working with her and like such a sweetheart, like
legend, yeah.
Does not need to be a nice person, but she's one of like the nice people that I have met behind the scenes, working like behind the scenes. And I thought that was super cool that they have women agenting women's matches.
Yeah, no, completely. And that was sort of my next question, was everyone pretty welcoming there and sort of helpful when you were there?
Yeah, everyone was super nice. Eddie Edwards actually watched our match and he's one of the people like we look up to. The American Wolves was kind of a tag team that me and Ashley first started watching to get into how we would put our stuff together. And so like him watching and giving us feedback on things was just like, wow, like you didn't even have to do that. Like you didn't have to watch and then give us feedback. Like that was super nice of him.
Kind of really helped out. And that's what you want to see. You want everyone sort of supporting each other. Another company I wanted to talk about is AEW. I've seen that you have appeared on AEW Dark and AEW Dark Elevation. On Dark, you were with your sister as part of a tag team, but for Dark Elevation, you were a singles match against Nyla Rose, the beast Nyla Rose. I mean, what a matchup. I mean, that's amazing.
Yeah, I wish we had more time to do things, but Nyla's such a sweetheart. And when I found out like the angles that they were doing for her that weekend, I was like happy because I was like, good. They're like going to push her a little and like make her seem like a legitimate beast. And she's so sweet. She had to wrestle, I think, 4 times that day. And I thought that was insane because she has to do her full entrance.
Right.
And so I was thinking of like how exhausting that must feel to go from like that high of adrenaline back down, the high of the adrenaline back down. And so I just felt awful for her. I think I was like the third match and I was like, I'm so sorry. Like, this is my one match today.
Yeah. I feel great. It's like your third of four or whatever it is. But how were you, again, were you contacted for this or was this sort of off your own back, so to speak?
Again, I don't know how much I'm able to give, but basically okay. I contacted the person who's in charge of extras at the time to get on AEW. And at that time, Ashley had already done a few of their tapings. Mm. I think she had gone to like 3 weeks of theirs. So they were familiar with us. So it was easier for me to get onto the show. They did bring us in as a tag team a couple times. And then we did get to do like singles things. I think the Nyla Rose match was the only time I did singles.
Mm. But that came after the tag, I believe. So you must have made an impression and, you know, you must have shown what you can do. And someone went, hang on a second, she's good. We'll have her back in singles. So hopefully it sort of carries on from there. I know you can't say too much, but I'm a massive fan of Tony Khan. Did you get to meet the man himself?
I did get to meet Tony. I don't know what I'm allowed to say.
No, it's fine. It's fine. You don't say anything. I won't press on
nice.
The matter.
He's actually really nice. He did say he was a fan of the Sea Stars or that he loved the Sea Stars. So I was like, all right, I'm keeping that.
Something I notice about him is just his knowledge is just absolutely insane for him, sort of every level of wrestling. And then what you've also got to remember is he's involved with the Jacksonville Jaguars. He also owns a football club over here in England. So the fact that the man has this amount of knowledge and is that much involved, it I think is amazing. And hopefully he comes back to you again and he gets you doing some more singles matches. Right, I'm going to put you on the spot here. Off the top of your head, what is your favorite match that you can sort of remember that you enjoyed?
That I've had?
Yes. So I'm gonna do this into two. So I'm going to say your favorite match that you enjoyed the most and then the match you think you performed the best in, or it might be the same match.
Okay. I think my favorite match that I enjoyed the most was my recent one against Davian, because we kind of threw together the storyline last second because we felt like no one was kind of invested into our match. We hadn't wrestled each other in a long, long time. So we were hoping it would be like, oh, cool, like a singles between Davey and Delmi. And it didn't really get any traction. So I kind of told her, I was like, hey, let's just like make it about this. Like we're battling for who's going to be the top person in New England. And so when I was trying to cut the promo for her, I was trying to be like friendly and be like, you know, like we're friends, but I'm going to beat you. And it wasn't working. I was so angry with myself. And so I finally had to turn into like a bad guy a little. And I just started like saying things that I would hear about other people. And I kind of made them seem like it was about Davey. And I threw that all together. I had to edit clips in between because I took multiple takes for that promo.
Right.
It's all a lie. Like,
yeah.
I had to repeat sentences until it sounded perfect. And I edited so it looked good. And then she came with her response back. It's actually pretty funny because when I posted mine, she was so stressed because she had to come up with a response to top it that she was pumping gas in her car and she left the gas pump attached her car and started driving off. And so that's how stressed she was about trying to come up with a promo to beat mine. And yeah. She did. Congratulations. But the match itself, we got like 20 minutes worth of time. Drew was really happy with like the notice that we were getting online from that once we posted those. And so we ended up just, you know, going out, telling a story. And so that match, I was like really happy. It was fun putting it together, and like people ended up watching it. And I was like, this is what we wanted. Like, we wanted people to care or feel like they had to go out of their way to see this match after.
Yeah. No, of course.
And then the second match that I would say I feel like I performed the best at was probably this last match at Limitless, where we wrestled main event. Mm-hmm. Those guys are so fun to wrestle. They're so easy to put together something. And, you know, they had me do like this move where they popped me up and I gave them both DDTs. And I don't like being in the air.
I saw that.
I'm not an air person.
Okay. You like to be feet grounded on the floor.
Feet on the floor. If not, I'm like, for some reason I can do dives or a blockbuster off the top, but yes. I don't like when someone throws me.
Oh, I see.
In the air and I'm like free falling.
Right. Scary. Yeah.
So when we practiced it, I didn't understand what they were saying. They're like, yeah. So then they pushed me off. I bounced off the rope and they just threw me without me jumping for them. And I was like, oh, yeah. God.
Oh, no. That's uncomfortable.
But we practiced it a couple of times so that way I would be comfortable with it. And then when we did in the match, it was like, I did it. Right.
Got it. I smashed it. No, it is a very cool move. It was really, really cool, I have to say.
Yeah, that was all them.
Actually, it brings on to another question I was going to ask. Intergender wrestling. I've noticed that you've done quite a lot of it. A lot of people have mixed opinions on it. I've heard people who say that they really enjoy it. They think it's cool. And other people think, I'm not so sure. How do you find it? Do you enjoy it?
I love it. I mean, I trained with guys with Ashley. Like, she was the only other girl when we were training. So the way I learned wrestling was someone who has like a body that I'm pretty tall. So someone who's my size or bigger. Mm. I do find it's kind of weird when I wrestle a smaller girl and I'm like, oh my God, like
I have
to be careful with my strength, or I have to be careful with like something as simple as like a roll up. They could just over rotate and it's like, oh, it can be messy. Yeah. So I tend to struggle when I wrestle smaller girls for that reason. But with intergender, I feel like I can hit them hard. I don't feel bad if they're hitting me hard. I know they'll be able to base for things. And it's cool because some guys have been able to wrestle other people. Like, main event could have probably wrestled the American Wolves. And that's maybe a match that I could never have. But if I wrestled them after they wrestled the American Wolves, then it's like, okay, I'm getting the knowledge that you guys got. And so knowledge gets passed down by who you wrestle. And for girls back in the day, we didn't have those opportunities to wrestle someone like that. Like that wouldn't be an option. Like Sea Stars versus Proud and Powerful, if it was the 80s, that match isn't happening. Yeah. And so we're really fortunate that we get to have those opportunities now to wrestle someone as smart as them and learn from them.
Yeah, completely. And the opportunities are getting better, and rightly so. So they should. We're in July now. Obviously, 2021 seems to be absolutely flying away. I remember sitting here in January thinking, got the whole year ahead of us, and now we seem to be around about halfway through. I don't want to push too much in case there's things you can't really say, but what sort of, have you got any plans coming up for the rest of this year in terms of wrestling?
I do, actually. This I can give away because it's going to be my own promotion. So,
oh, amazing.
Yeah, thank you. Me and Rip Bison, my boyfriend, are starting our own wrestling promotion. And our house right now is currently filled with all the things for entrances. Oh, and, amazing. You know, all like we have our custom turnbuckles that we're getting. Oh, so cool. Right now we've just been like planning it. We have finally the card finalized. So every match is booked and the talent behind the scenes is booked. It's just a matter of locking down a venue now, but we do have our date set in October.
Amazing. What can you say, specific dates in October?
I don't want to say it yet, just in case someone tries to steal it. But
perfect. Can you tell the listeners the name, or again, are you keeping that?
Nope, I can tell you guys the name. So it's going to be Pro Wrestling Grind, and we are going to be running out of Western Massachusetts. Amazing. I know you're not familiar with that area. It's super, actually, like England and the UK, where it's like pretty cold here and there's a bunch of trees, so
we got trees, that going. Yeah.
If you ever want to visit, come visit here.
That's how the English are, just a bunch of trees. For our listeners in England, will it be streamed anywhere they can potentially watch?
We are going to hope it's going to be streamed on IWTV once it's edited. Unfortunately, it won't be streamed live, this first show.
No, but of course.
We'll definitely have it edited and posted somewhere, whether it's YouTube, IWTV, or another place like that.
Perfect. That's amazing. Something really to look forward to. As I am in England, do you have any plans to tour? Any wrestling tours coming up? Are you going to be wrestling around the world at all, or strictly States at the moment?
I think States for the remainder of the year, but I do hope to, now that Over the Top Wrestling is back, I definitely want to go to Ireland. That's one of the places I wanted to wrestle.
Sorry to interrupt. So Ireland is an amazing place if you ever get over.
I want to go to Ireland. I had Irish cousins growing up, and I was just always obsessed with, like, you know, their culture, and like we always celebrated St. Paddy's together. And so I want to go there. I want to go to Rev Pro UK. Definitely want to go to Europe in next year or soon.
Oh, we'd be delighted to have you over. And if you go to Ireland, you do have to get a Guinness, I'm afraid. You've got to.
I love Guinness, so that's totally fine with me.
You will notice that when you have an Irish Guinness, you will be able to tell the difference. Trust me.
I'm ready.
Trust me.
I'm ready.
I come to England, I get a Guinness. I'm like, what is this rubbish? Get me back home. Finally, just to sort of round it up, a pretty generic question, really. Dream match. Is there anyone you look at and you think, right now, present day, I want to get in a ring with them and we can just have it out?
So many. So for tag teams, definitely right now, the Iconics, American Wolves, if they decide to tag again, Young Bucks, because I know that one will never happen, but I just love them so much as people. Like, I think they're such good people. Like, I'm just like, wow, like I would love to wrestle them. And then for females, I would love to wrestle Bayley, Sasha Banks, Kylie Rae, Thunder Rosa. I haven't had a singles match with at all. And I think I'll cut it there just because I don't want to overstep. Maybe I'll like be able to wrestle them and then I'll have a new list, but
I completely understand. Well, Delmi, thank you so much for joining me today. It's been an absolute pleasure to have you. Just for our listeners know, where can we follow you on social media accounts? Have you got Twitter, Instagram, etc.?
Yeah, so Instagram and Twitter is pretty easy. It's at DelmiExo. That's DelmiExo. And then you can follow Grind Puro at Instagram and Twitter. That's the same. It's GRINDPURO.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much for this. And it's a pleasure to have you on.
Thank you so much for having me, Connor.